Welcome to episode 37 of the Worship Drummer podcast. This is John Manna, your host. And you are part of a global group of Christian drummers who are continually striving to put the heart before beat. Why? Because we believe that worship is about the work of your hands and heart. Follow along online at worshipdrummer.com, or you can always hit me up on Instagram at worshipdrummer. Thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. Well, what's up, Worship Drummer fam? I'm excited to present to you this next episode featuring none other than Upper Room's Sebastian Suarez. Again, just as a reminder, last episode we switched things up in that we are now taking this audio from our Worship Drummer Hangout from our YouTube Lives. It happens once a month at the last Tuesday of every month, usually. And so this audio, we had the chance to hang out with Sebastian Suarez as our Worship Drummer Hangout guest. And the first half of the interview, this is kind of how we're going to do it month to month. First half is me asking him some questions. And then the second half of the time together is usually Q&A. And so I'm super grateful for Sebastian's time. We talk about obviously drumming, some spontaneous stuff, and how do you prepare or how do you get ready for spontaneous moments in worship. We talk drum samples, and then we get to the heart stuff because we're all about putting the heart before beat. So without any further ado, I present to you our Worship Drummer Hangout conversation with Sebastian Suarez. Sebastian, yes. Suarez is in the house.
Come on, man.
Hey.
Oh, you got claps. I've always wanted to like be the guy who has that button.
The power.
It's like, brah, brah, or like, or something dumb like that.
No worries. Hold on. Let me see if I got the... Nope. Nope.
There you go. I've always wanted to be that guy.
I love it. So if you tell some bad jokes, we can... Some dad jokes.
Oh my gosh. It just... I have plenty of those. I can tell those all night.
Oh, I love it. Sweet, man. Thank you for hanging out tonight. We have Joshua Roden already in the house. Let's go. Man, I love this guy. I always bother him in his DMs.
Oh my gosh, I'm a tear. I've gotten so bad. Once you have a kid, here's the thing. Once you have a baby, like everything else is like secondary. I don't even go to the gym anymore. Who am I? I don't have time for anything. I get home and I'm with a baby. So it's beautiful.
How true is that?
It's amazing.
I've got 3 kids.
Oh, wow. So
they keep me super on my toes.
What are their ages?
So Josiah is turning 10 next week.
Wow.
And then Abigail is 7 and Nathan is 5.
Mike, you should hit the round of applause button for yourself just right now. Just
my wife.
Well, and your wife. Just, my God.
They're Come heroes. On.
They're heroes.
But it's good. Children are a blessing, and it does make, you know, scheduling stuff like this challenging. So we got a few other people tuning in. Martin, que grande este hombre. I'm not Spanish, so I'm just phonetically reading it.
Oh, I understood it. Thank you so much. I wish I could see, like, who is on here. I wonder if I can.
So you have to go to our YouTube channel to trek.
It's fine. We're here.
Yeah.
So you'll keep me updated.
Miguel Francis says hi. What's and Martin up? Again, te amamos amigo. I love you, bro. Right?
I love you guys. I don't know who you are, but I appreciate you guys.
So it's good. Welcome officially. This is how we do it. Ready?
Let's do it.
Welcome officially to the Worship Drummer Hangout. And we got Sebastian Suarez in the house tonight from Upper Room. And we're going to talk drums. But first, and so we've been doing Worship Drummer Hangout. This is our third one. It's a once a month hangout where we just hang out as drummers. And we try to bring in a guest that I love, but obviously that the Worship Drummer family loves, and have some conversation. And this will turn into our audio podcast, by the way. And so we flipped the script where before I used to just do an interview and then publish it on an audio podcast and then try to, you know, use Zoom video stuff and post to YouTube. So we flipped the script. We're doing video first and we get to feature live questions. So how it's going to work is I've got a few questions for Sebastian. And we'll, as long as we go, probably 20 minutes or so in, you put your questions in the live chat, not in the comments of the video, but in the live chat. And then we'll get to them in about 20 minutes or so, if that's cool. And, I mean, ask away. You can start putting them now and we'll come back and check them in about 20 minutes. So super stoked. This is actually our first time interacting, I could say face-to-face.
Yeah.
And I remember a while back, I was like, man, I want to get you on the podcast. And here we are doing it on video first on YouTube Live. So
yes,
super grateful for your time tonight. And I love starting off just getting to know you, and obviously everyone watching this, maybe they know your story. Not just like, oh, how did you get to play drums for Upper Room? But if you could take us, you know, one level deeper and be like, you know, who's Sebastian Suarez? You know, how did you get to playing drums maybe when you were younger? What was your upbringing like? And obviously you can connect the dots to eventually how you're doing what you're doing today for us.
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, thank you so much, John, for having me. It's a pleasure. I actually remember probably 2013 or 14. I don't even remember. It was a long time ago. I was in high school. I did a drum cover of a Darlene Check song and it somehow ended up on your, like, I think it was like the very beginnings of Worship Drummer, but it was a website. I don't think even Instagram was a thing.
No. Is that where you, was it you? You walked into the room?
Yes. That's me.
No way.
And then
was
I remember.
Was it, what's that song called? God is fighting for
it's
us.
It's that song, but I don't remember the name. I'm sure, I can't remember the name for the life of me, but I remember like just hanging out one day in my like room and I was like, I don't even know what I was looking up, but I saw it was on your website and I was like, this is so cool. Like, I have no idea what this is. So this is so cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Heck yes, bro.
Like I said, my name is Sebastian. I am 27. I'm happily married to my wife, Michaela. And we just had a baby boy. His name is Asaf, Sebastian Asaf Suarez.
Amazing.
I was born in Colombia and came to the United States when I was four. Raised by a single mother who I love to death. She's my hero. Would do anything for that woman. She's just always like believed in me and anything I wanted to do. I remember for a season I wanted to play baseball, buy me a baseball bat. I wanted to be in the army, would get me for Halloween. I was an army man. Anything I wanted to do, she was always behind it. And obviously grew up in church as a kid. My uncle is a pastor, so I was kind of a PK. Nice. But I just was always interested in drums and the drummer and why would the drum set was red and sparkly. And I remember it was our first Christmas in the United States. We were at Toys R Us and I saw this tiny little box with a blue drum set, and I was like, that's what I want for Christmas, Mom. And granted, like, we are, like, fresh in the United States, have no money, and she made a way. She's like, okay, that's what you're going to get for Christmas. So that was my first drum set that I ever got. It was at the age of 5. And then it just kind of developed into a love of just drumming. I would always sit, like, close to the drums. Any church we were at, I was like, I need to be close to the drummer. I need to see what he's doing. And I was a kid, so, like, from the age of 5 to, like, about, like, I don't even know how old you are in 7th grade, probably, like, 12, 13.
Yeah,
about that's kind of when I started taking it seriously. I started, I radically, like, met the, like, encounter. I think growing up in church, you can know about God, and then there's an appointed day where you are met by him, and he says, hey, this is what I've called you for. So I was radically marked by God the summer between 6th grade and 7th grade. And me and my 3 cousins just, we just kind of like started playing music in our living room, in their living room, actually. I would go over to their house, and it was during the summer, so we would just sit there and play music. And we just knew that there's the only thing we knew about music is that God loved music, and God loved listening to us play. And we would learn a song and then continue to play after the song, and we had no idea what we were doing. We probably sounded terrible. I was playing on a Yamaha electric kit that, like, has no sensitivity whatsoever. Everything is just loud. Like, there's no, like, dynamics. It's just loud. So fast forward a little bit. We ended up playing at my uncle's church, being the main worship team at his church. And at the same time, we started attending a church here in Dallas called Covenant Church. And that's where Dave and Nicole Binion were at the time. My mentor, Daniel Lopez, D-Lo.
D-Lo.
Mentored me. Yeah, D-Lo, he's another hero of mine. I go to him for anything. It's actually today I bought a new drum set. And I messaged him right before I bought it. I was like, bro, should I get this? And he's like, that's a good kit. I was like, so
like, I legit him. Today?
Yeah, today. I text him all the time. Like, he's like my man. I took drum lessons from him up until, like, he kicked me out. He's like, I have nothing else to teach you. You can't come here on Saturdays anymore. So it's kind of like a joke between me. And he's like, get out, T-Less. I tell you everything.
So what did you buy? And then we'll get back to the story. But what did you buy as a new kit?
I bought a Rogers vintage kit. I'm like really, really digging into the studio world right now and just learning all things studio. I'm in my studio right now. We bought a house last year, so
amazing. I'm just,
bro, the studio world is a different kind of world. I mean, one thing is playing live and in a drum cage, but being in a studio exposes a lot about a player, and I'm just diving deep and don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if anybody knows what they're doing. We're just kind of all figuring it out at the same time. And we're like, oh, this works for me. This works for you. So I bought a Rogers kit, and I told him, I was like, bro, should I get this? He's like, that's a good kit. So I'm excited for it.
Love it.
But what was I saying? We ended up going to Covenant Church, and that's kind of like where we learned more of like the fundamentals of music and worship as well. But that's where kind of we like learned how to play to. I learned how to play to a click. I learned how to listen to a band. I learned how to flow dynamically, especially with David and Nicole Binion. They're just amazing people. But playing behind people like that, they just flow in worship, and you kind of have to be very sensible, and you have to like learn how to follow the Spirit, but also learn how to follow the worship leader and serve him well. So we were there for many years. I was on staff there for quite a bit, like probably like 7 years. I played aux drums there, which is a whole different story in regards to drumming.
Yeah.
And I remember my cousin one day, we were like, again, like we just love Jesus. And we heard that Todd White was speaking at this church or this place. It wasn't even a church at the time. It was this place called The Upper Room. And The Upper Room had no address. It had no website. It was like an underground place. It was like, we're going to this place, but we don't know where we're going. And mind you, we're in like high school. We're like kids. We don't have cars. We don't know how to get from the suburbs of Dallas to downtown Dallas. So it's like, my friend's going to take us. So we ended up going to this place called The Upper Room. And it was a strange place. It was like there's a green carpet. There was a guy on an acoustic and a drummer playing on a jazz kit that right after worship he packed up and left. And it was crazy. But the same feeling and the same presence that we felt when we got encountered when we were in middle school, we felt the same thing at that place, at when we got to the upper room. It was just there's something about being there that that we knew that we were supposed to be there. So we stuck around. We found out it was a prayer room. It was not just a church. It was a place of that wanted to do prayer sets and host prayer sets throughout the week. And we slowly started to get involved. And I mean, we just kept digging our roots there. And the rest is kind of history. We really didn't, like, we didn't show up to Upper Room because it was Upper Room. We showed up to Upper Room because we felt God in that place. And I mean, we're I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. So I'm on staff there. I like help facilitate and help manage the prayer room. We have over 120 volunteers who do prayer sets 3 times a day. We do full team corporate prayer sets every day at 6 a.m. from 12 to 2 and then from 6 to 8 p.m. every day. So it's a big task, but it's an honor to be there. So that's kind of and a long story made short, but that's kind of who I am and how I got to where I got to.
That's so cool, man. So I think there are 3 things I want to kind of like land on from what you said. Ox drums, and we don't have to tackle them in that order, but ox drums, I think it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Surrounded, the song.
Yeah.
And the iconic drum samples that you use.
Yeah.
And also, you can talk about Perks, what you and Ish have started up.
Yes.
Because I think that's super cool that the Worship Drummer family, if they don't know about it, you guys need to check it out.
Yes.
For drum samples. And one, two, and maybe the third one will come to me later.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like spontaneous playing, learning to not be so scripted, like, you know, multi-tracks, intro, two,
and
how to flow through those moments, especially if it's like a 2-hour set, like you described.
Yeah.
As a drummer, like, you have to have vocabulary to, you know, dynamics, highs and lows, all of that. So you could take any order you want. So it was Ox Percussion, Surrounded, Perks, and then just flowing. And then I think after that, we'll get to some questions in the chat. So again, for those just tuning in, we have a Q&A time coming up maybe in about 15 minutes. And so you can start dropping your questions in if you have any in the live chat. So, all right, it's all yours.
We'll talk about aux drums first, because that's a really cool subject that is very dear to my heart. I remember listening to what album? It was "We Will Not Be Shaken" by Bethel, and prior to that, like, I don't think I had ever seen anybody do aux drums like they had, and they were able to incorporate two drummers who think completely different. But they meshed together so well. And I like saw that and I was like, how can I do that as best as I can? And at the time I was part of the youth team at Covenant, and D'Lo, it was like when SPDSXs were like, they're cool, but like nobody's really using them. And he's like, bro, you need to get one. And I was like, okay, I'll get one. And then I kind of put it in my closet, never really looked at it. And then slowly, we started working on an album, and he's like, hey, I want you to play aux drums for this album and Perks. And I'd never had a shaker in my life. I've never used a tambourine. And I'm like, cool, like, let's do it. And man, playing aux drums will expand your vocabulary so much. It makes you think like a producer. It makes you not think about how drummers think, if that makes sense. I mean, yeah. We're drummers, and it's good to think like a drummer, but it's also good to have the hat of a producer when you're playing in service or when you're in the studio working on a song. It's really important to think about, like, how much room can I leave for the drummer to do what he needs to do here, and then how can I support that? So, and sometimes, like, as an aux drum player, you're just having a shaker in your hand, and you're just shaking away for the whole verse, and you're just, and it's not fun, but then if you really start to think about what you're doing, take away the shaker out of that verse and see what's going on in the song, and you're gonna be like, what's missing? And I think aux drummers are so underrated, and I tell every drummer that I know, I'm like, bro, think, D'Lo told me this, so if he ever listens to this, he'll know what I'm talking about. There's three mindsets you should have as a drummer. It's the mindset of a worshiper, the mindset of a producer, and the mindset of an audio engineer. And I think playing aux drums incorporates all of that, and it makes you think so much different than when you're sitting behind the drums and how loud can I play and how fast can my chops be. And it helps you serve the song and serve the worship moment in general. So, I mean, I can talk about aux drums all the time. There's so much that you can do with aux drums nowadays. Like John Mark McMillan's album, my gosh, I don't even know who played. I think it was Al Sergal and somebody else, but they're just, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think like an older album a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was an older album, and I think
what was that
Future
song?
Future Pass is on there. But it's like there's just like the song is like gradually growing, but the drums are not doing that much, but they're just playing so well together, and
yes,
it works. So if you're listening to this, I mean, dive in deep and learn how to shake a shaker and a tambourine and how to think about aux drum parts, and it just makes you think very differently.
Okay, so question then, when it comes to aux drums, how do you decide, okay, this is gonna be a real tambo versus like, you know, I'm just gonna sample it on my pad?
For sure.
How do you decide and land on those kind of decisions?
Well, kind of, okay, so shakers and tambourines are meant to lift. In music, they just help support and lift. So if I'm playing like a real, normally like on verses, like if it's a verse that's like kind of driving, I naturally like have a shaker. Now, I'm normally playing drums at Upper Room. We don't have the bandwidth or the stage to have aux drums at Upper Room. But when I'm tracking a song for an album, I'm cautiously like, okay, right now I know I'm just playing 2 and 4. But underneath that, I can have a shaker that's going to be, like, helping out. I don't necessarily need to play the hi-hat. And then even when I do a big chorus, like, again, a tambourine is going to help lift the song. I don't need to bash on the cymbals as hard. I can just kind of ride the cymbal and have the tambourine do the rest of the riding. So I think it's just depending. And now, like, sampling drums on a song, like, that just helps, like, create texture. To music, so it's, I know for a while it was the big tambourine that everybody wanted. I know Bethel started that, man. They like, I don't even know what they did, but I've like tried to recreate that tambourine, and I just don't know how. I tried my best on our perks pack, but it's just their tambourine is like, I don't know, maybe David Whitworth will one day just put it out there for the world. But it's just such a good tambourine. But I know back then it was like all about the verb sounds and how much verb can you get on behind the snare, and it's just it adds texture. So right now I'm really into dry sounds, like just no verb and just seeing what comes out of just natural organic sounds. So I think SPDSX, to answer your question, it's just textured stuff, and then tambourines and shakers are meant to lift and support in certain sections of songs. So that's kind of the way I think.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So okay, anything else on aux drums that you want to drop, or else we could go to the next part of the question?
I think we can move on from aux drums. What was the next one? I'm like,
Surrounded, like that.
Surrounded,
that,
okay.
That classic drum sample intro. And for me, it was like that sound was, I'm like, man, it's like so perfect. So maybe you could talk about that, but also, you know, perks and what you and Ish developed and launched.
Yeah. Yeah. So Surrounded was actually a spontaneous moment. There's two videos on YouTube. There's like the Surrounded moment that was like the original, like the first time I had ever heard this song. And then there's like the one that we did at one of our conferences where we actually recorded and worked on it. But the first time I ever heard Surrounded was during a service after a preaching. Our pastor told our worship leader, I forget what he told her, but she just started singing this chorus, "This is how I fight my battles." And I mean, honestly, when that moment came out, I was like, this is so embarrassing. Like, I sped up, like, because it was really slow, and then she wanted it faster, but she really wanted to go. It was like the best train wreck you could ever think of is Surrounded. And then when we actually, like, she finished writing the song and we went into the studio and started working on it, I remember my cousin Oscar had, like, started chopping up the sample, and he's like, yeah, we should use this. And I was like, they're great, let's do it. And so Oscar actually helped me make that sample. If not, he made it himself. But, bro, he's just a wizard with Ableton, and he knows so much. Like, Oscar Gamboa is crazy he's a crazy producer in general. He produces all of our albums. But he made that sample, and, I mean, he was gracious enough to let me put it on my perks pack, and the rest is history. Now, Ish and us and me and my other friend Brandon, we did start a sample company in 2020 when we were all bored and just couldn't leave the house. And I feel like that's when all these musicians are like, what can I do? It's like, I'm going to start making videos. I'm going to start da-da-da-da. Everybody's making something. I'm going to start posting more videos on Instagram. Yeah. We're like, bro, we have so many samples. I mean, I had just because I was working with D-Lo and I had a catalog of samples that I just had collected over the years, and so had Ish, and then we made a few new ones. I mean, I remember Ish came over to my house, and we were hitting anything and everything that we could. We would, like, find our water bottle and just put whatever on it. Just destroy the sound, and we just released our own SPDSX pack, and we called it One Shot 001, and we added some of the samples that I had used and some of the samples that Ish had used, and then we incorporated some new ones. And we're like, wow, this went actually really well. The heart of it is to be a blessing to others and not just to keep our resources to ourselves, but just to truly just love it, help others. And normally, like, you buy a sample pack and it's like, great, I got a sample, but I'm going to, like, work on it, put in Ableton and distort it and put verb on it. And we were just like, bro, let's cancel that and let's just give them what we have. And it's already ready to use, ready for use. And that's kind of how we came up with the idea, and then just started expounding on that. And then we released our own sample packs, like with like our actual snare samples, our trigger presets, our loops. I mean, we wanted something simple that people can use. I mean, producing music is sometimes you just want a simple groove, but you can't really find it on Splice. Yeah. And I was just like, bro, let's just do it. Let's take a week. Let's track and then let's put it out there. So obviously now having babies, it's been a little bit harder to, like, find time to, like, go to the studio, track, and put out stuff. But we're still in the works. We might we have actually a few projects on the works right now. So it's really exciting times.
I love it. So people can check it out at perks.live, right?
Yes, perks.live. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do it. You won't be disappointed.
Oh, trust me. Listen, you will not be disappointed.
Yes.
And if you are, I'm sorry.
money back guarantee.
Yes.
Very cool. So let's talk for a minute. By the way, if you have any questions, I haven't seen any specific ones come in. So if you have questions for Sebastian that you want me to ask him, drop them in the live chat right here on YouTube, and we'll get to them in a couple of minutes. Yeah, let's talk spontaneous moments.
Yeah.
And like you talked about 6 a.m., 12, and then was it 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
So as a drummer, what is your approach? How, like, what's kind of in your tool bag of, you know, dynamics, all of these things to make it through, and some advice for drummers who maybe their worship team is starting to get into some more spontaneous moments, but maybe it's like pulling teeth a little bit with, you know, their vocabulary.
Trust me, man. The first time I ever played a two-hour set, I remember I was our pastor, Michael Miller. This is not drum related, but it correlates to drumming because I believe that you have to show up when you're playing drums, regardless, with your heart before you show up with your parts and all this stuff. Like, you have to play from a place of knowing who you are in God and knowing what you carry as a drummer. So I remember we did a 12 to 2 prayer set on Tuesdays. That was my set for a really long time. And one of the first sets we did, he asked the whole team, he's like, hey, what did God say during the set? Like, what was he speaking? And I mean, Holy Spirit is speaking. Our God is alive. And I knew that, but I didn't know that with my heart. Mm. And when he said that, I was like, why is he saying it like if God is like actually in the room? And I thought that in my mind. And then I got convicted. I was like, he is in the room. Like, of course. So that changed my perspective as a drummer coming into a two-hour set from now I'm not passively playing, but I'm engaging in the set and I can play from a place of excitement. I can actually encounter what is being sung and said and go there musically as well. So I would say the first thing is like engage your heart while you're playing. It's going to bring longevity to the set overall, and you're not going to play from a place of just being stagnant. You're going to actually encounter, and it's going to translate in your playing. I tell our drummers this all the time at Upper Room. I believe we have like 12 or 15 drummers, I think.
Wow.
And I tell them all the time, I'm like, guys, we need to engage and listen to what the worship leader is singing and what they're praying, and just engage with what Holy Spirit is saying. Like, listen with, yes, your ears, but the ears of your heart. Like, what is Holy Spirit speaking to me? Like, what if you're supposed to lead in a moment? And that's going to change your perspective from I'm just a drummer to now I'm actually a worshiper playing on a set. And that you could do that. I mean, it's not just prayer room specific. Like,
right.
I believe that's how you should play, even if you're playing at a church, that it is the intro, 2, 3, 4. I think it's like, it's so important to show up that way. I tell our drummers too, that the ones that do play on Sundays, I'm like, hey, before we were like, yes, let's learn our parts, let's show up in excellence, but let's learn the lyrics as well to these songs that we're playing. Because if you're going to engage with, like, if I'm going to believe that God is good and you are good, then I need to know that and play that and declare that with my own heart as well. So I would say that, engage your heart. It's going to translate completely in your playing. As far as dynamics goes, my God, this one's so worship music, there's a lot of building, there's a lot of toms, there's a lot of everything. It's like big drums all the time. It's like worship drums, yeah. Is just big drums. And I've kind of wrestled with this a little bit because I'm like, how can I explore drumming without going to my comfortability of just building all the time, especially on a two-hour set? And I've learned that it's okay to make mistakes in spontaneous music. I've learned that it's okay to take risks, that the worship leader, at least at my at Upper Room, I'm thinking of Joel Figueroa. He's one of our worship leaders. I do a 6 a.m. prayer set with him on Wednesday. So tomorrow at 5:30, I'm going to be at Upper Room in the morning, and we're going to be playing a set together, and he wants me to take risks. He doesn't just want me to play a song. He wants me to explore the drums. And I think that's something so not said enough. Like, we need to be able to explore an instrument and have fun with it. Play with your eyes closed when you're practicing and just get a feel for what the drums are doing. How do drums respond? That's going to take you out of the mindset of, okay, I know what I'm going to do here, and in a few bars, I'm going to do the same thing again. And then in a few bars, I'm going to do the same thing again. But really exploring what the drums can actually do, the power behind the drums is, I mean, if the worship leader wants to go up and you come down, you're coming down. It doesn't matter. And if they want to go up and you're coming, like, you have so much control of the dynamics in the room. So knowing the power behind what the drums do and how they respond in a spontaneous moment is so crucial. Like, yeah, learning how to layer before and learning how to listen to the actual music and what's going on musically is so important. Like, I think of it as like sections of what they're singing. So if one worship leader is singing a chorus, okay, that's section A. If another worship leader singing another chorus, spontaneous chorus, because it happens a lot, that's section B in my mind. So yeah. Section A, I might be like layering to get to section B. And then section B is going to, another layer is going to happen, and then I'm going to get to section A again. So just taking your time too. There's so much to learn, and I'm no expert at it. I'm no better than anyone. I just like to take risks, and like, I'm encouraged to take risks from my worship leader, and my musicians. And there's that trust there. So if I step out, they're going to back me up. And when they step out, I'm going to be there for them and back them up.
Wow. That's like a master class on
spontaneous
playing.
I know, I feel like I said
playing.
So much, and I don't even know what I said, but I said everything I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's awesome, man. And did you guys just release some more music recently?
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah, on Friday we released another Moments album. So we do kind of a lot at Upper Room. We release corporate albums that we like write songs to and then like actually track and work on.
Yeah.
And then we have spontaneous moments that we like have impacted our house, have impacted us, just moments that like are just archived in our, from our prayer sets, from our Sunday gatherings, from whenever. So we did just release a Moments album, and I believe the plan is to release once a month a Moments album. So wow. Every month there's going to be a Moments album. So that's a lot of, it's a lot of music that's going to be coming out, but it's really like, it's nothing. It's not like we wake up on Sunday morning. It's like, today we're going to record, How He Loves into Jealous. And that's going to be a moment. It's literally, I remember actually the week before that, like actually 2 days before, one of the songs that made it on the album is How He Loves. And there's another song that's called Jealous. And it's like a spontaneous like thing that we did. And I don't even remember, but I had just gotten in a car accident. I wasn't even going to play that week. And I was just like, man, I'm like, my shoulder's hurting. And I ended up playing and I was like, man, this is such a good moment. I remember leaving that and I just kept thinking about it. So the fact that they put it on one of our Moments albums is really special to me.
Come on. That's yes. So cool. We do have some questions now that are coming in.
Yeah.
Before we get to them, just a question for you, like, can you give us a glimpse, like, what's a day in the life of Sebastian like? And you can pick any day of the week. Any day of the week.
Okay, so, like, I'll give you for an example. So I'm on staff at Upper Room. I work there. I help, like, facilitate what happens. Obviously, in the prayer room, that's kind of my role as a associate prayer room director. So on a normal, like, Monday or Tuesday, like, today I woke up at, like 7:30, got my son ready, and my mom stays with us Monday and Tuesdays to help with the baby while my wife works. So I got him ready, and I got myself ready, and I had a meeting at 9 a.m. about just what's going on in the prayer room, if there's any changes, any updates, if there's people moving, if whatever, any updates. And it's from 9 to 9:45. At 9:45, I have my prayer set, and it's a Spanish prayer set. It's from 10 to 12. So we do pre-briefs where we just meet up and talk and make sure we're all on the same page. And then we did our 2-hour set, which was really powerful today. So if you want to stream it, I mean, it's on our YouTube. You can go stream it. But it was really special today. After that, we do our corporate staff set, which is from 12 to 2 on Tuesdays. And that's where all of our staff gets together and we're do a corporate prayer set. So I'm really in the prayer room for 4 hours on Tuesdays.
Wow.
And then after that, I mean, there's a lunch break. I go back to the office and just answer any emails, connect with any drummers, any prayer leaders, any worship leaders, anyone who needs anything, make sure that everything's taken care of. Then today, I mean, I'm also helping produce an album for a church out in Miami with my cousins. I have three cousins, Julian, Oscar, and Gabriel, and they're like pretty much my brothers. And they all play at Upper Room. It's kind of like weird. We're like four guys. We all play different instruments, and we all I'll play it up a room. But we're producing an album for a church out in Miami, and I came home and I worked on that. And then I was on baby duty and was taking care of my baby. We went to go to the grocery store and pick up a few things for dinner, made dinner real quick, and then realized that I didn't have enough time, and I made it here. So that's kind of like what a day in the life of my life looks like. If not, I'm tracking drums here. I'm in my studio. It's kind of like a fun little setup, and I have more toys and drums, and yeah. It's fun. Again, getting into the studio world is completely different, but my God, it's so much fun.
Nice. Real quick, what drums are those? What cymbals do you play? And what overhead mics are you using?
So this is a Vistalite Ludwig kit that I got from a friend of mine. And that overhead mic is so... Which one is it? That one right there. It's so low. I was tracking guitars the other day. And I had to mess with it, so don't judge me. But this is a Ludwig Vistalite kit. It's a 22-inch kick, 13x9 rack, 16x16 floor. This in front of it, here, I'll take it out so that way you can see it. Yeah. This is a vintage Slingerland kick that I got from a website for like $200. Wow. And it just has so much low end, so I put it in front of the kick to like get a lot of low end out of this room. Cymbals, I mean, this is kind of my studio setup. That's a Istanbul Jazz Ride, a 30th anniversary Istanbul, and then traditional hats. That's a Franklin snare that they so graciously sent to me after we did the Maverick recording.
Nice.
And then I have another I have a baby blue Franklin kit somewhere around here. And the overheads, those are Coles. So those are Cole mics. And, there's so much random gear in here. I mean, you in the studio world, you realize that you will always have something to buy. Yeah. Whether it's a cable or a new drum set or I need a new mic, I want to try these. Like, there's always something to buy. So, I mean, today I bought a drum set. And
there you go. What color is the new one, by the way?
It's black. It's kind of like Paul Mayberry. So yeah. It's not exactly, but I was like, man, I want Paul Mayberry's drum set. And I mean, I pray it sounds like it.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. I love it. Thanks for just giving us a glimpse into your studio. So we'll get to some of your questions now. Just quick rundown of people tuning in. Hey, pal. Colin Tate from C3 Church in Ohio. What's up?
Come on.
We have Misael Iniguez, Tim Aston Music, and Jose Perez. Okay, so let's jump into some questions, and you take as long as you want, or you could be as succinct as you need to be.
I'll do it.
How do you get your snare sound with an 8x14 snare? There's a video, I think, on that, eh?
Yeah, so on my Instagram, I posted a video on how I tune my snare. And grand, like, snare tone is like a huge subject in the worship world. It's like the mix could sound like booty, but if the snare sounds right, then man, this mix sounds amazing. So it's like how I get my snare tone. I don't like typically, like, if you wanted me to like give you like a secret, I don't think there is a secret. I will give you advice on how to get a good snare tone, and that's communicate with your audio engineer. It's not said enough. Like, you and the audio engineer need to be like best friends. The audio engineer that I love, his name is Brandon, and he works at Upper Room. He sees all my flaws. And I remember something D'Lo actually taught me is to just think like an audio engineer. So I took that and I said, hey, Brandon, what do I need to do to my snare for it to sound good out in front of house? And he's like, hey, tune it up. Actually, tune it back down. Hey, don't hit so hard and be consistent with your hits. Maybe let's try to put an O-ring thingamabobber on it. And granted, I took that from Whitworth. I just looked at what he did and I was like, oh, he has an O-ring and a moon gel and I'm going to do that. And I was like, okay, that kind of works. But even if you do that, you still have to know how to tune a snare.
Yeah.
So funny enough, we were doing an event with Bethel in Portland. And I let them borrow my snare. And I was like, yeah, you guys can borrow my snare. Go for it. And tune they had tuned, yeah, they tuned my snare for me. Like, they used it. Obviously, they tuned it. I was like, do whatever you guys want to do. And they tuned it. And the guy who this their audio engineer tuned it for the drummer. And it was tuned a little bit high for my preference. Sounded great. But for me, it sounded a little high. And I just took the tuning thing, and I tuned it a little bit down, and I remember, like, I just hit it one time, and everybody did this, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's what I want my snare drum to sound like. So pretty much what I do in that video is I tune it really high. I get all the tension, oh my gosh, why can't I, the tension rods, is that what they're called? I get them all even to a certain pitch or whatever. I don't use a tune bot. I really wish I did. That way I could be more specific with people. But I tune it really high. I give it two full turns, and then I just pick which one I think is the highest, and then I tune to that one. And then once I get it all in tune, I take it down like half a turn all the way around, and that'll get you the snare sound that I think is good. If it's still too high, I'll take it down more. I'll ask Brandon. I'm like, hey, how does it sound out there? He's like, bro, it sounds great. Or he'll tell me, hey, can you tune it down a little bit more? He always tells me to tune it down because I like my snare a little bit higher. He's like, bro, just turn it down a little bit. I'm like, okay, I'll die to myself. I'll tune it down. So that's my best advice on how I get my snare sound is talk to your sound engineer and work together. I mean, he's on your team and you're on his team. Y'all aren't separate. Y'all are together as a team. And that's, watch my video. That's how I tune my snare, and it works for me.
Love it. And the Rezo head. How important is that compared to the top?
It's very important. I actually crank it. I crank it and I do the same thing. I'll crank it and I'll check the tension rods, and whichever's highest, I'll go to that one. Now, you don't want it to be too tight for it to break, but like, If your snare sounds boxy, it's because the bottom head is not tight enough and the snares aren't sizzling enough. So
sizzling.
Yes, tune it up and then you'll get the snare sound that you want.
Sweet. That's a great answer. Samuel, how do you get the drums to sound so good? So that was a snare. Any other advice for the rest of the kit?
Your toms? Yeah, I mean, For a floor tom, I think floor tom and kick are pretty similar. I just finger tight and then kind of like a little bit. I don't really like tune it really high up. And if there's any like weird sound that I'm hearing, like overtones, I'll like try to take them out either with gaff tape or with an O-ring. Rack tom is one that I like don't ever really understand yet. Right now what I'm doing is I'm tuning them the same bottom and top, and now if that's not giving me the result that I want, then the bottom head I'll like try to go up or down or try to figure something out. But that's kind of what I do for kick drum. I just do the same thing, finger tight and then tune a little bit, and then it'll give me the sound that I want. Every drum is so different. There's so many different methods to this stuff. You listen to Aaron Sterling and his drums, and my gosh, I mean, I bought his master class and he's like, this is how I make a really bad drum sound good. And I'm like, I know nothing. So it's like, I know things, but then I don't know anything at all. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. I'm learning as well.
I love it. Okay. Matt Roland asks, how do I keep my builds fresh? I'm finding myself doing the same build-ups every bridge to chorus.
Yeah, I think, man, that's something that we all are gonna feel at some point. I remember when I felt stuck in building, and I felt like I just do the same thing. Especially, I mean, in my position, I play 2-hour prayer sets. I'm like, I've done this for 3,000 times. I would say just experiment and try different things that you're uncomfortable with, and they might work and they might not work, but at least you're trying and you're experimenting and you're just trying different things. Kind of going back to what I was saying earlier is just understanding your drums and being comfortable with your drums. And maybe it's a season that you need growth and you need drum lessons. I took drum lessons for like 7 years, and literally got kicked out of my drum lessons because I was there so much. So if you feel stuck, like, put yourself in a position where you are going to be uncomfortable and it's not going to be easy. And that's good. I remember learning music and it was uncomfortable. And I think that's another thing that is not said enough, is being uncomfortable is actually good. And it puts you in positions where you're going to grow. So if you feel stuck in any area, I would just encourage you to, I don't know, learn a new song, learn something that's going to make you uncomfortable, and then try that in your worship set. And then try building that way, or listen to other, like, I went to a concert, a Kings of Leon concert, and it was so funny. I was listening to their music and I was like, wow, I would naturally, right now, as a worship drummer, I would build there. But he was playing a really cool groove and it made the music feel good. And I think it's like only in worship drumming and Christian music that we build for everything. But like, if you listen to other records and other albums, it's like, experiment with the drums and see what you can get out of it. So make yourself uncomfortable. Try new things.
That's cool. And to add to that, because I preach, I'm a lead pastor these days.
That's amazing.
But what intrigues me a lot is in communicating, which I'm going to tie to how we phrase things on the drums. It's like when I hear a preacher say something, I go, oh, that was really cool. I would have said, like, this is how I speak in this kind of a phrase, and they kind of flipped it the other way around.
Yeah.
Bad example maybe, but it's like, I'm going to go to the store, right? And then someone else would say, to the store I am going.
Yeah. You
know, but it's just like, there's a different way to phrase something. So when I listen to music, and like you kind of said, the Kings of Leon stuff, especially gospel, I'll hear some phrases. I'm like, how in the world do they think of like that, putting that hit right in the middle of this fill? Or,
and you know what's crazy about that too, the fact that you're talking about vocabulary too. Music is like, it's like if you listen to, you actually made me think of what I think of during spontaneous moments. I listen to lyrics.
Yes.
And I'll listen to the phrasing and the cadence and what they're singing. And again, not to bring up Joel again, our worship leader, or even Alyssa, or any of our worship leaders, but the way that they sing things provokes something in me. And I'm attentive to what they're saying, and I'll mimic what they're saying sometimes, or I'll play melodies with my cymbals.
Yes.
Or I'll just do random things that I'm hearing as they're saying things, and I'll just try it on the drums, and I'll literally play their phrasing, what they're saying, on the kit, and that'll be a build, or that'll be a layer that I can add to get to a build. But now you're starting to think differently.
Yeah. So a good example of that is Carrie Job, Forever. The ground began to shake.
Yeah. And,
like, I remember playing that, and I was like, vroom, like giving the ground began to shake, and then building from there.
Yes.
I think my wife, I asked her, I'm like, there has to be a word for that, where the rhythm matches the word.
Yeah.
I think it's called an onomatopoeia.
No,
I could be totally, I could be totally wrong. So someone in the comments, you could
somebody
correct me.
Because
onomatopoeia.
If that's what it is, my God, I've heard
where,
that.
Yeah, it's where like a sound mimics the word, or the definition of the word, something like that.
That's crazy.
So, okay, cool. So that's some ideas for how you can build. Let's go to Pau says, what type of compression do you use in your drum set for worship? Compression. I'm not sure if he's talking about like compression dialing it in or if it's like dampeners on the drums.
Okay, I can talk about both. As far as dampening the drums right now, I mean, in the studio, since my mind is in studio world, like there's so many things you can dampen it with your phone, a rag. There's so many things that you can do to it. You could just gaff it up and make dead sounds. As far as actual drum compression, now again, I'm like no like expert on any of this. So again, anything I say, take it with a grain of sand. And I don't even know if I feel comfortable talking about it because I don't know much. So I would just say look up on YouTube how to compress drums and give it your best shot. I know that there's great compressors out there for drums. It just, again, like I bought this compressor and I'm going to butcher the name. It's by Baby Audio. It's called a tape compressor. And it's a great compressor. I know this is like very nerdy. Like this is when you get my wife the other day. She's like, wow, you're really digging deep. And I'm like, I'm a nerd right now. I'm like buying all sorts of stuff. And so I bought that compressor and it works really well.
Is it analog or digital?
Oh, it's a plug-in. You can you can buy it. And I don't have any outboard gear. I wish I had outboard gear, but I also just had a baby. So there's no way that I can buy. There's another compressor that I bought, and it's by Baby Audio, too. But I do not know the name, and I don't want to mess with my computer to try to find it. But
No, you're good.
Yeah. So I would just look up Aaron Sterling's masterclass, and he talks about processing drums and a bunch of it. So if you, I don't know because I'm learning and I don't feel comfortable saying what I know because it could be so wrong. But I would just encourage you to look up YouTube videos and buy masterclasses and take mixing courses. It's the best thing you can do. And also ask your audio engineer.
Come on. Good. Okay, let's move on because we got about like 7-8 questions left. If we need to go and you got baby duty, you tell me. So, okay, this is an interesting question. Miguel, any good affordable cymbal recommendations?
Affordable? My God. Okay. So I love Istanbul cymbals. I have been tempted to move away from Istanbul cymbals because of the price. But honestly, to each their own, everybody plays their own cymbals. Zildjian is a very good company. Yeah. Istanbul is a very good company. Heartbeat is a very good company. As far as affordability goes, I would almost like fight back and say, would you rather just save up a little bit more and get what you want, or do you want to just get something that you can afford? Which, granted, other people are in different places financially, but I mean, affordable, I think Heartbeat is a great option for affordability's sake. Granted, you can buy like Istanbul cymbals that are cheap, that are actually really good, like the Exist. It's like 200. It's like a 22 in Exist is $200.
Oh wow!
I really want to get that actually. Granted, the Joey's like $700, so that's really expensive. And but like, I mean, Heartbeat's a great cymbal company, and they're a great cymbal company. So, but yeah, I would say get what you want and truly commit to that. If you love Heartbeat, play Heartbeat. I love Istanbul. It's just, they just sound great. Like I've tried everything and I've tried to not like Istanbul, but it's just hard.
Oh, that's good. Good answer. Okay. Next question from Misael. Blessing Sebastian. Love that y'all are doing this. My question is, have you ever experienced numbing in your hands when you play, or any warm-ups you would recommend before a set?
Yes. Yes to both. My wife is going to actually kill me for this because she's like, you need a stretch. You need a stretch. And now I'm holding a baby for 3 hours nonstop. And you're like right here in your forearms. You're I didn't know that I'm going to feel the pain, but you do. So get ready for when you have a baby. But just in general, I think stretching before you start, I don't do enough of it, but also sitting correctly on the drum set, I think Dave Elitch talks about this, is like posture behind the kit, like sitting upright, like feeling loose, make sure that you're comfortable and everything needs to be exactly where you like, you shouldn't like have to like reach your hand over to hit the cymbal, like it should just be here, and that's where you should be playing. That's helped me out a lot, honestly. Posture more than stretching has helped me not get carpal tunnel. If I'm uncomfortable when I'm setting up, I'm going to play so uncomfortable. And the next day, I'm going to feel it all in my shoulders and my back. So, I mean, stretching, just normal stretching would help. But more than anything is making sure that your setup is comfortable for you, not just cool looking. And, like, comfortability over look all day, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion, maybe, but, yeah.
No, it's good. Thanks for that answer. Tim just says, love your heart and drumming, Sebastian.
Oh, thank you, Tim.
So Jose Perez asking, what would be a good affordable snare drum below $700? That's a pretty good budget.
Okay, so, I mean, if you have $700 for a budget, you have a real good budget, first of all, my friend. Below $700, again, I'm not a plugging kind of person, but Dallas Drum has a really good snare drum. It's my snare drum. It's this 8x14 brass snare drum. It's the same snare drum that everybody uses. It's $650, so if that's like more on the higher range of your $700, I mean, if you can afford it, $650, a great snare drum. I've used it on tons of albums. I've traveled the world with it. I will never sell it. I love it. It's great in the studio, great live. Another really on the lower like price ranges, I think it's like $350, maybe $400 max, is the Black Magic. It's the same thing. It's a great snare drum. Now, if you like on, there's no bad snare drums. Here's the thing. If you have a crappy snare drum, then even then, like, Aaron Sterling blew my mind by making a crappy snare drum sound great. So like, even like an, Acrolite, it's $200-$250 bucks. It's not the 8x14 snare drum, but it's a cool snare drum. So it just depends on what you want.
Yeah.
Again, Dallas Drum is a great option if you have $700. And you want to save $50, or the Black Magic is great. Black Beauty's great. That one's like in the middle, I think. I don't really know, but those are all great snare drums.
Great answer. Okay, so another question: how do you decide whether aux drums will be included in a meeting? Just special meetings with more space?
Aux drums. Yeah, I think, like, we did a Spanish album last year. And I think we wanted to incorporate another texture live. So it just depends on what kind of vibe you're going for, who's involved. If you're recording an album, what the producer's feeling and what the worship leaders and everybody else is feeling. But, like, even for the Maverick City album, we did a album with them, and we collaborated, me and HB. I played aux drums and he played drums, and it was such a, like, literally days before, it was like, hey, you're playing aux drums? No, we're not playing aux drums anymore. Actually, you're playing aux drums. And I was like, great, I'm playing aux drums. So I think for that album, that's a great example, is we just decided, hey, HB and I are going to go for it. And it was so fun working with him. That was like the coolest experience ever, because he's such a pocket drummer, especially on the album that we did, that I could just serve him well. That was my goal. And that's the scary part with aux drums, is that drummers can't, like, if you're playing aux drums on an album, you cannot think like the drummer. You have to think the opposite of the drummer. It's like, how can I support him well and get out of his way? So working with HB was amazing. I loved getting to serve him and just vibing with him, honestly. So it just depends on if there's space and if there's room for it, and if that's what you guys are going for.
That's cool. Shout out to Steven Verbo watching from the Philippines.
My wife is Filipino.
So, oh.
Half Filipino.
Nice.
Yes.
And I think they were hit with a typhoon in the north a few days ago.
I think so. We gotta be praying for the Philippines.
Steven, hope you're all right, man.
Yes.
And let me just see if there's one more question we'll take.
Let's see. All right,
this is an easy one. And then I'll end with one of my questions. So what type of drum cage do you have at Upper Room?
Okay, drum cage, my God. Okay, drum cages, I love / hate drum cages. Just me personally, because I might go on a little tangent for 2 seconds. I think drum cages have... I see the purpose behind it, but I think it's also hindered drummers to actually be able to play to rooms and like, now we're just bashing cymbals and playing loud 24/7. Like Al Sergel, I saw a video of him playing at Dwell Church, where Dila plays drums at now. He was playing outside the drum cage, and he can play in any room, small, big, medium, and he will not overplay. And I just think it's important for us as drummers to learn to play to rooms and be aware of people's ears and just that whole thing. So I love drum cages / hate them, because I hate being in a secluded thing that gets hot, and it's just, especially in Texas, my God.
Yeah.
But I think we have, I don't even know, a Goblin Enclosure G2. It's one of my friends. He makes drum cages, and we reached out to him, and he made it for us so kindly. But it's a great drum cage. It works well for our room, but I sometimes get so hot in there, man. My God. You have like 2 fans because it's too hot.
Wow.
It's dry heat in Texas. I don't know how it is in Canada, but
it's cold right now, at least. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, you're like, oh my gosh, it feels good in here. Over here, it's like, if you don't get me out of this cage, I am going to, it's like hot. I love / hate drum cages.
I hear ya. Okay, cool. Well, let's end on this last question, which I love to end pretty much every interview I've ever done, which is simply this: what's one word of advice, piece of wisdom? It could be practical for drumming, or it could be spiritual. But what's one thing you want to leave with our worship drummer family tonight as we wrap up this hangout?
Yeah, I love that you do that. I tend to go more spiritual because drumming is secondary. So I would say plant yourself wherever you are right now. I would just say plant yourself and dig deep roots in your community, at your church, serve the church as best as you can. And you'll see the fruit. I think oftentimes, especially in our day and age, I wanted things quick. I wanted things to just happen for me. And it wasn't until I actually learned that when I plant myself, like I did at Covenant, and when I planted myself at Upper Room Now and Day, like, it just, the fruit of it is evident. When I submit myself to our leaders at Upper Room, when I'm able to serve with the vision of the house and co-labor with our pastors, and it's just, you see the fruit in your life. And I think it's so important to serve the place where you're serving versus try to take from it. So I would just say plant yourself and truly serve, and you'll see the fruit. You'll find your wife, and then you'll marry her, and then you'll have beautiful babies, and you'll end up doing what you love. So yeah.
Amazing.
Plant yourself.
Amazing. Sebastian, thanks for that word too. How can we trek with you outside of just this hangout tonight? If you want to drop your Instagram handle for us.
So yeah. For sure.
Tabs.
Yeah. My Instagram handle is @cbass.space. You can follow me there. You'll see all my baby pics, and I'm trying to I'm past this recording album that we're producing. I'm going to be posting more videos on YouTube and just on Instagram. I want to be more active. Just baby season is real. So, and just follow our Perks account and keep an eye out for all of our samples that we're going to be releasing and loops, and we're going to try to do a lot more stuff. So just super excited. John, thank you so much for having me.
For sure. All right. As we wrap this up, I just want to say thank you, Sebastian. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. We love you, and we end every episode by saying, always remember to keep the heart before the beat. God bless you guys. Well, there you have it, our hangout time with Sebastian Suarez, and trust that you were encouraged, that you were inspired. What else can I say? Hey, Sebastian, you're a cool guy. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, and for everyone who's listening to this. You can head to our YouTube channel and watch it. Maybe you'll get some better context, but it was a very rich time. Appreciate you. And we will have some links, just a few, to some of the things we talked about, like Perks Live, his drum sample stuff. So you can definitely check it out. And yeah, I just want to say thanks. We're looking for your ideas on who we should get as our next couple of guests lined up for the Worship Drummer Hangout. And then consequently, it'll end up here on the podcast. So if you have any recommendations, hit me up on Instagram at Worship Drummer. Drop me a DM and let me know who you're thinking of. As well, you can always send an email, john@worshipdrummer.com. This is John Manna for the Worship Drummer Podcast. And always remember, keep the heart before the beat.